Hey, this is Russell, and I work at the video store, the place that we can all go to every week when it's movie night. On days like today, interesting people pop in to rent something. We go through the films that they've loved across their life, and we are just here to help you figure out what you could be watching on streaming platforms and out in cinemas. All right, let's do it. Let's open up the shop. Good morning, chaps.
What's up, Russell?
Hey, hey.
Come on, more enthusiasm.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey. We've got ourselves a Gaddy who's busy finding his energy. How you, Gad?
Yeah, I'm here.
You there. We've got a G-Force. How you going?
Yo, all right, and yourself, dude?
Yeah, cool, man. And you got a Russell. Russell. Who's just trying to motivate his workforce.
How are you, Russell?
I'm good, Gad. Thank you. Welcome to the video store. Thank you for wandering in.
Yes.
This is our guest episode. Hmm. So on Thursday every week, we have ourselves an interesting customer. This is someone who comes to our video store and they're going to pop in to perhaps return something. We look to try find them something to rent and we talk about movies and the movies that they've loved. This week on the show, we're going to have Bongiziwe Mabandla, who is like probably one of the more famous musicians in South Africa.
Yeah.
At least in a world music sense,
like
a very cool sense. He's just killing it. He travels the world. he's somewhat of a big deal. And we've been lucky enough to sort of see his career, Gad. Myself and Gad play in the band Short Straw. And we've been backstage many a times, many a festivals, and it's been great to get to know him. You went to varsity with him, hey?
After with Alistair and Bongi, we were all the same, yeah.
Okay.
So he was in the acting department, and then we were in the production.
Right.
The acting.
The sort of filmmaking department.
Yeah, it's split into two.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's performance and the other thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The other thing is what you studied.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is the making of the film.
But there's just a term that wasn't performance. I can't
production.
Remember
this. Right.
Maybe
I don't know.
I also went to Afton and I don't even know. What did you major in?
Sound design.
Okay.
Obviously.
You know, because that's, you know, going to feed into your candy business.
Yeah. I mean, they make sounds when I...
Aren't you deaf in one ear?
Partly. I think I got like 40% hearing in my left.
And you studied and you studied sound design.
Well.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I mean... It's the one thing I could have done with being colorblind. I don't know.
Yeah, you say, thank God you're not a colorist.
Yeah, I'm a color correction engineer.
All right. Okay, before we get too into this, guys, I just want to make a quick announcement for everyone that's browsing the aisles. I'm just going to press this little button over here.
Attention all customers, this is to let you know that the 45th Durban International Film Festival is coming. It's presented by the Center for the Creative Arts at the University of KwaZulu-Natal, and it'll take place from the 18th to the 28th of July. It is the oldest and the largest film festival in Southern Africa, presenting over 100 screenings, all of which are premieres in this region. And it's going to be over a bunch of different venues. There's Suncoast Cine Center, New Metro Pavilion, and the Stir Kennicor and Gateway. Tickets are R80 and they can be purchased through each cinema's website.
We are then also going to do something with the Bioscope later. Let's get into it. Have you guys got something to keep you busy?
Yeah.
What are you going to do, Gaddy?
I'm going to go help Corbin with his homework.
Nice. You brought your kid to work again. All right. I'm so glad I'm paying you by the hour for this. But I like Corbin, so let's education first.
There you go.
G-Force?
I'm going to go work really hard, which means I'm going to go play Destiny 2.
Okay, all right. You guys go do that. This is Bongiziwe Mabandla popping in to rent something. How's it?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm great, man. It's so nice to see you.
Yes, I know. We've been You've been planning this for a while. So I'm happy it's finally happening.
Yeah, no, thank you, man. I appreciate you making the time. I've seen you a fair bit in the last few months, but mostly backstage or behind the scenes or at the hotel lobby the next morning. And I try my best to plan these things with people, but life is chaotic.
Yeah, it is.
And I know, I think for the large part, what you deal with me being in Short Straw, I think I've got a taste of it. I think you've been living the most incredible years traveling the world. It's lovely, and I want to get into it. But one of the nuances that I think a lot of people don't know when it comes to being a musician is that you sometimes do have a lot of time, but it's not your own. You know, so you might be sitting around with lots of time on your hands, but you can't go and do stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in an exciting city and somewhere in the world, you're waiting for a sound check or you're waiting for a show.
Yeah.
So you can't, you know, I think only once you get to certain points can you really carve out your own time. But for the most part, I think even for the world's most famous people, you don't have control over your time.
Yeah.
Do you feel that sometimes?
Yeah, I do. I do. I mean, definitely, it's been a lot more an effort to find the time. Yeah.
But out of all the musicians that we've had here at the video store, not all of them went to film school.
Yes. Yes.
And so you went to AFTA. So I'm very curious to see.
Just around the corner.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see how that might have informed you, how that might have amplified yourself as a musician. And we're going to get into that.
Yeah.
But firstly, you've come back into our video store. Do you have anything to return? What are you watching at the moment? What are you enjoying?
I am returning Back to Black.
The film?
Yes.
The Amy Winehouse film?
Yes.
What did you think of it?
Yeah, I loved it. It's very hard, I think, with these bios to really crack it, especially if the audience really know the artists. They know how they speak. They know their mannerisms. And finding the right actress, I thought must have been a huge challenge. But I did love it. I thought it was... I love the acting and the actress and the portrayal of Amy Winehouse. Oh, the story, maybe not so much. Yeah,
it's a tricky one. And I went and watched it, and I was considering whether or not we should screen it at the Bioscope. Because, you know, we're a place for also live music. We're a place for that old nostalgic sound, which Amy Winehouse was very much a part of kind of reviving. But I struggled with the movie a little. I saw where they were going. I wondered whether or not it wasn't too soon to bring out an Amy Winehouse
maybe.
Biopic.
Yeah, is her dad playing her dad?
No, but it felt like it. No, it was very much...
Is that not her dad?
No, I don't think so.
It's almost like a lookalike.
Yeah, well, then he was well cast.
I thought it was her dad.
But her dad very much sort of gave the thumbs up on the movie.
And we
know from kind of recent history that the dad, it wasn't necessarily the best part of her life.
Yeah, and also not the worst, I guess. Like, I think I've followed the Amy Winehouse story a lot.
Well, maybe you know it more than me.
Yeah, I've watched the documentaries a lot. And I do think that is a challenge when you make a real movie about somebody real, very well known, is that which moments do you include and which ones do you take out? I think they were very strategic in the movie not to make it, you know, a movie about drugs. Yeah. Which I think is a good choice, but I don't know, from it trying to be too clean. I don't know. It's like
it felt a bit too clean, and it felt a bit too cookie coated for me. I don't know whether
that's
the right word.
Yeah, exactly. I think it moved away a little bit from what the real Amy Winehouse story is.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, lovely. So you saw that. How are you in your life now? You got any tours coming up?
Yeah.
You just come off the back of something? Where are you right now?
We just came back from bushfire.
What was that like?
It was amazing, you know. I've been to Bushfire a couple of years ago, so it was great to be back and to like just have such a different experience.
Bushfire is special. We played it once as a band, and we loved it because it's a very much a world music festival.
Sure.
Happens in Swaziland. It's been going for ages.
Yeah, it's so selling out. It's one of the festivals that sell out. Yeah.
But it's acts from around the world.
Yeah.
So I remember we played and we were very much the sort of white indie rock band.
Yeah.
But we enjoyed the rest of the night moving through the venues and seeing, you know, bands from sort of parts of Europe and Middle East and, you know, with interesting instruments. And
yeah, it's a very interesting
It's perfect for you. I think it's great.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to actually touch on that. With your music, you've chosen to speak or sing in vernacular. Which language are you mostly speaking?
Hossa.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's quite strictly that, hey?
Yeah, it has been.
Has it always been that? Because I feel like early days there could have been English.
Yeah, there was. There was. There was two songs in English. Yeah.
I think it's amazing, and I think it's great that you've been so strongly, you know, this is your language, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And it's so sort of proudly itself,
yeah,
which I think is great. And so for someone like myself, who I can admit, you know, doesn't understand a word, I enjoy it on a sort of meditative level.
Yeah, I guess.
And and I'm just curious because you've traveled across the world.
Yeah.
How do they take the foreign language? How is that received?
Yeah, I think, you know, like, unlike us South Africans, I think in other cultures, listening to music that's not necessarily your own language, it's not out of the norm. Especially, I think, in places of, like, you know, Europe, where people have a big understanding and appreciation of African music and almost knowing, like, oh, no, this music comes from Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
You know, like having more knowledge than even ourselves.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So you've never found it a problem. If anything, it's been embraced.
You know, as I become, play more around the world, I think now it's something that I'm starting to wonder now. I think in the past, it was like, you know, I'm a South African musician. You know, overseas was almost just something we kind of dipped in and dipped out. But now, as I think my career grows and overseas is something that's like becoming like basically a possibility, I wonder if, you know, I'm going to start to experiment with.
Yeah, well, there's also nothing wrong. I mean, bring in everything. What are some of the favorite places you've been?
Oh, wow.
If I could say, hey, you got a show tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
In your favorite city, where would I fly you?
Paris. Okay. Yeah, Paris. I've enjoyed that. Mexico.
Oh, cool. What's special about Mexico?
It's the history. Almost like you can see like what's, you know, the past in the architecture, you know.
Sure, but I mean, Paris is also old.
Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah, I guess Mexico, it's so different and such a different and yet very similar culture to South Africa.
Okay.
You know, their religious, you know, monuments.
Okay. But in the show, I would imagine Mexico could perhaps get a bit more loose.
Yes.
They can party a bit more. These are the people that, you know, drink tequila. As opposed to Paris, where perhaps they could be judgy. They could be
quiet.
And, you know, the culture of Paris is, you know, you don't eat popcorn in the cinema. God help you that you make noise.
Yes. I love that about
cinema, which is lovely.
I love that. Like when you play, you know, you can hear a pin drop.
In Paris.
Yeah. France.
Yeah.
Some places.
We found that very disconcerting, but then we absolutely loved it in Japan, that they would scream and shout, they'd be happy, and then they'd be deathly quiet.
Because
are now waiting for the next song. It's a place of respect.
Yeah.
Where they could hear, you know, you on the stage go, what's next? What are we playing next? And the first time we did it, we found it so odd. And we didn't quite know what to do, but by the end we loved it because we saw where it was coming from. Anything coming up?
Coming up? I'm working on a new album.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, yeah.
A big sigh. What's that process for you? Where do you record in the same place? Or are you trying something new?
Yeah, I am trying new stuff. You know, also I have 4 albums. Yeah. And imagine, you know, like I didn't have like a big guitar. So I feel like I've used all the chords that, you know, all the variations. So yeah. I'm drawing from a very different place. And just like looking at where my career is, you know, I do have sort of pressure to come up with something that's good. Yeah.
Sure. But what is the different place that you're drawing from now?
The language one was the one thing that I'm more experimenting with. And also, I'm really trying to grow with my audience. You know, how can you keep people captivated for like 8-10 years, you know, of listening to your music, you know? You really need to also surprise yourself and them, if you know, and go to other places that you've never been and almost sharpen your expressing kit.
Yeah, no, like sharpen the pencils. But is that going to be sort of sonically? Are you going to play in sort of different musical genres or play with different things? Or is this more songwriting? Is it more sort of in the poetry or the words?
I think it's more songwriting. I'm trying to understand, you know, I finally have this really good understanding about truth and relating it to the audience and them, you know, relating it to their own life. Yeah, so I'm just really trying to expand that and trying to be, to, I think that's what music should always be about. It's about, you know, expressing something so truthful and so honest. It's, you know, it ripples the other person and it makes them whether question or
I think just seeing you describe this now, I can see why you enjoyed Back to Black.
Yeah.
You know, part of Amy Winehouse's struggle was her saying, I write these songs for me. These songs are my truth.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I did get from that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And a reminder of perhaps the documentary, Amy, is perhaps a better document on her life right now. But either way, the story of Amy Winehouse was her saying, you know, I write from my personal experiences. I need to be true to me. And if people come along with that, then that's great.
Yeah, I think she says a line like that in the movie, that, like, I'm not interested, I'm not a Spice Girl, I'm no Spice Girl.
Mm.
And then she says as well, you know, I'm interested in writing about that life is so awful. You know, like writing from that place as well.
But it's the authenticity, and so that's nice that you've focused on that, because I think if your fans, no matter what you say or do, if it is from a authentic place and a place of truth, then they'll go with you on it.
Yeah.
You know, we're also a couple of albums deep. I've lost count. I think we're on about sort of 5.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, there certainly was the one that I look back now with Short Straw, and I'm like, that was the one where we were a bit confused.
Mm-hmm.
We were making the songs we thought we should make.
Yeah.
And some of them worked and some of them didn't. And,
yeah, yeah.
But you could look back on it and go like, okay, we were a little like confused there.
Yeah.
But then the next album was like, fuck it.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to make what we want to make. And that was more fun.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and perhaps did better. But let's do a little journey. Where did we grow up?
I grew up in the Eastern Cape, a small town called Tsolo. Yeah.
Okay. What was that like?
I think my childhood really made me the artist I am today, because it was very rural.
Okay.
Not so much TV and computers.
Not a lot of cinema, I'm sure.
Yeah, not a lot of like interesting stuff to do. So you know, I kind of lived in my imagination and I had an obsession for things I couldn't do, like, you know, we would play like concerts and things like that, you know. And I think the lack of seeing a real concert and the imagination of it really, like, you know, it made me obsessed kind of it about things.
Did you play some imaginary concerts to?
Yeah, to the lots trees. Of people? You know, like if there was ever a small platform, I would like pretend it's a stage. You know,
that's lovely.
Yeah, using roll-ons as mics.
Yeah.
So there was always this, you know, growing up and you know seeing a mic for the first time and seeing a studio.
When did you touch a guitar?
Guitar. You know, first time I really touched it was in grade 11. Yeah.
Okay, what is that? That's high school.
It's high school, yeah.
Was there any film that might have come to you in that sort of early childhood time? It something that you watched on a TV or, I don't know, was there a cinema? What was the biggest town?
The biggest town was East London, Cape Town. You know, I did travel, you know, a lot to Cape Town, PE.
So you weren't too stuck in the little town.
No. I wasn't too stuck. And, you know, but also I feel like even when I went to big cities, I was always like fascinated by this and by that.
Yeah.
You know, I remember the Whoopi Goldberg movie, Sister Act.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a lovely movie. Yeah. Both of those were great. I mean, you realize the second one was Lauryn Hill.
Yes.
That was her introduction to
the
world.
Yes, not knowing how she would impact my life.
Yeah.
Much later.
But there was a wholesomeness to that. I mean, there was obviously a big Christian, prod. But it came from a good place. And, of course, it was all about the joy of singing. It got most people excited.
It was a classic, right?
Yeah.
Absolute classic.
I think so.
Yeah, it was. Everybody loved it. It was like on in buses. They had a huge rollout.
But it's lovely that that was one of the ones that came to you first.
But the movie that I really started to love, and I think this movie is very much like my music. And it was the first. And I watched this movie on ETV.
Yeah, yeah.
It was Color Purple.
The Color Purple.
Yeah, the Color Purple. Yeah.
So I am guilty of never seeing it.
Oof.
It was a book.
Yes,
Alice Walker book.
Yes.
Then Oprah Winfrey put everything on the line to make the movie, which she acted in.
No, it was Steven...
Steven Spielberg directed it.
Yes.
But Oprah Winfrey starred in it, hey?
Starred in it. I don't know if she produced it back
then.
Okay,
but I think...
She got in it.
I've got a feeling she did whatever she could to be in the movie.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Basically, she got the part of Sophia. And yeah, this movie, I love this movie. Mm. It's because it really deals, you know, with inward world that people, you know, everything that I've sort of, every movie that I've watched before then, it's almost like, so it reminds me of Tracy Chapman's music as well. It's like...
What do you mean by the inward world?
Yeah, every movie I'd ever watched was talking about, you know, trying to revenge my father, you know, everything outside. And then in this movie it says, "Dear God, I've always been a good girl.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that you can give me a sign that, you know."
Okay, so it's more introspective.
Very much about you know, not how the person is doing physically, but how the person is feeling inwardly and how they view their world from the inside.
Have you seen the redo recently? They've
Yes.
Because I think so the movie came out, I'm trying to think, 90s, 80s, 90s, The Color Purple, the first one that we're talking about. Then I believe it then became a stage play.
A Broadway stage
where they turned it into a musical.
Yeah, with Jennifer Hudson and them. Yes, you are right.
Because I think the stage play existed and then they thought, let's make a movie version of the stage musical.
Yeah, which is the new... And I know the director.
That's what came out recently.
What's his name?
Color Purple. The new Color Purple.
Is it?
I'll tell you in a moment.
Yes, I do know him, and he's a great guy. I've met him actually, and the director. Wow. He comes to South Africa a lot.
Okay, what was that like?
He's a great guy, you know, and it's interesting to just see somebody and then in like. 8 years, you see them, they're directing the new Color Purple with
Blitz.
Blitz.
Blitz Buzzer. Buzzawule.
Yeah, Blitz. Yeah. Okay. Blitz. Yeah.
That's a cool name.
Yeah. Yeah. So those movies have
well, I've got a feeling we've screened another film by Blitz.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Okay. Lovely. I think that's a good pick.
Yeah.
Over to high school.
Was high school.
Okay.
Okay. Do you want me to go first back?
Well, before? Let's maybe put Sister Act as the first one.
No, I don't.
Okay, you want someone else?
You know, okay. I have to be honest. Before my childhood film that I ever watched. Oh, now I'm so torn. So many films.
There can be a bunch. It doesn't have to be one.
Okay. I mean, Sarafina.
Okay.
Was like, you know.
Yeah.
Like the first, like, I don't know, like, basically imagination I had, and like, I don't know, the basis, the first movie I probably ever watched.
Okay. And of course it's just filled with lovely music.
Yes, as well as a musical.
So that makes sense that it spoke to you in a particular way. Yeah. Not only were you perhaps seeing a part of yourself as like a school kid,
yes,
in Africa, but you were hearing music.
Yeah, and I feel like that film, a lot of us saw it because, you know, I think we saw it around 94, it was like the only kind of movie that black families would sort of like play, and it would be like the only movie.
Yeah.
So you'd watch it again and again and again and again, yeah, and again until you know how to, yeah,
sing all the songs.
But I remember in grade 3, I went to watch Lion King.
Oh, cool. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And that comes up like pretty often on the video store as people's like... as most people's puppy love film.
Yeah.
Just because it was as good as it was.
Yeah, I did not know that I had so much feelings. I think I was 9 years old and I went to the cinema. It was a school thing and I watched this movie. And I didn't think I cared much about movies.
You're talking about Lion King?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And the part where he loses his dad.
Yep.
And
big cry.
And I lost it in the movies.
Yeah.
And I cried so much and I didn't really know I had that side.
Yeah, yeah.
To myself in grade 3.
Yeah.
I was really surprised.
Ooh, there's that room in my brain.
Yeah, like, wow. No, why are you crying?
No, because it was fucking sad. It was a bit, it was well done. It was a huge moment. And of course he felt that he had done it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's lovely, eh? It also blew my mind later in life when someone told me that that's the story of Hamlet.
Oh,
it's Shakespeare's Hamlet.
Yeah. I didn't know it.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
The whole thing of the uncle killing the dad, him being banished, coming back. Yeah, yeah.
No way.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing, eh?
I thought it was a proudly South African story.
No, no, listen, it very much is. And I think the best part about The Lion King was that in the year that it was released, Disney were more interested in Pocahontas. Lion King was their B team. They put most of their money, most of their effort into Pocahontas.
I love Pocahontas. Also.
It's good. Yeah. But Lion King was fucking incredible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I just love the fact that the sort of underdog animation team pulled off what they pulled off.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just one of the most incredible movies.
I've also seen the musical.
Yeah, great, right?
Oh my goodness!
Did you watch it at Monte Cassino when it came out?
Yes, yeah. I somebody had gave me a ticket, and I was like, I'll go. Yeah, so far. And then I went and I sat down, and then they play, and you know they start with the Circle of Life,
and your eyes just fill up with tears.
And I screamed so much, I was like, because that first song, it's just like,
it's powerful, man.
Everything about your childhood, everything that's beautiful, it's just like, it's amazing how theater can move you like that.
I had a very interesting experience watching The Lion King at Monte Cassino. This cute little girl behind us was obviously just too excited and too overwhelmed and had been given some rich milkshake or slush puppy or something, and shame, she vomited. and a part of it got on me, and I sort of turned around a little sort of begrudgingly, and then I saw this cute little girl's face, and I was just like, don't worry, my girl, just as long as you can stay for the rest of this, you must enjoy it. But another great thing I'm going to share, Short Straw took part in this big sort of citywide festival in Japan.
Yeah.
In Osaka. 400 something bands or 300 bands.
Wow.
299 of them were all Japanese, one foreign band, Short Straw.
Yeah.
Okay. And we, and it's one of those festivals, Joburg's attempted it every now and again, where they take over the live music clubs.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's not
yeah.
like a big field festival.
Oh, yeah. I've seen
it. It's like a cross city festival. And so we arrived a day or two earlier. And so we noticed from watching all these shows, and I think you'd find this interesting, how the Japanese bands do these shows at festivals. Every venue's got a curtain. So the curtain closes and the band, you can hear like boom, boom, ching, 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 you know, as they sort of line check and get set up. They've got 15 minutes to quickly get on stage. Then when it's time to go, the curtain opens and every band came on to a song.
Yeah.
Someone else's song, like an intro song. And we thought, oh, fuck, well, now we got to get an intro song. Every other band is doing this. Then we thought, well, what fucking intro song should we come on to? Lion King. You know, the opening. And it just worked so well at this festival because, you know, the audience coming were like, oh, this band's from Africa. So we had to give them something African.
Oh, wow.
And it worked totally well. They loved it.
I can imagine.
And then we kept it up for the rest of the tour. For no reason. We just kept doing Lion King.
So the circle of life?
Oh, that's so good. Okay, so high school got a little more serious in the sense that it was Color Purple.
Yeah.
Perhaps, you know, issues like prejudice and racism and history was starting to kind of seed itself.
Yeah.
Where did you go to high school?
I went to Lady Grey Arts Academy.
Is that in the Eastern Cape?
Eastern Cape, so like an art high school, yeah.
An art high school?
Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Okay, so there was more of a focus on the cultural
stuff. Yeah, yeah.
And at this point, did we started making music?
Yeah, a little bit, not knowing, you know. I just like started learning a bit of guitar, written a few songs, but just only for friends.
Okay, and your folks were supporting you in that?
Yeah, I was supposed to be an actor, hence I went to AFTA.
Okay, so AFTA then was about acting.
Yeah, I went to AFTA to be an actor. I was very serious about being an actor. I was very determined that I was going to be a really great actor.
Okay, because you forget that AFTA has the acting component. It always started more as a film school, the making of films, but then they did add the performance.
I mean, it's always had actors, right?
It's my ignorance, sorry.
Yeah, it's always had actors. It's always been a film school, so I guess everything around film. So what I guess people didn't know, it then got a music side.
Oh, cool.
So like halfway to my degree, I actually moved to music. So I was doing music and acting, but and then my focus just moved to more music.
Okay, yeah. What kind of an actor did you want to be?
Oh, wow. I wanted to be on Isidingo.
Okay.
That was a big, this is like the reason I came to Joburg, is to be an actor on Isidingo.
Okay. And, did you do much acting?
I did. I was on Generations.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for a couple of years.
Oh, shit. I missed that. Sorry.
I did Sakula and Partners.
Seriously dramatic stuff? Could you be a bit funny?
Okay, so the jobs I did that. I did a children's learning TV thing. Okay. I forgot what it was called.
Okay.
Tough job.
Kids stuff's hard.
And it's maths. It's maths.
Oh, shit.
So I didn't think about it. And then I did Generations. I did, not very serious. Like, you know, playing like an ad executive. Okay. Like, you know, today's pitch is, you know, vibes like this. I did a movie.
Oh, yeah?
A million colors. Yes.
A million colors.
With Wandi Le.
Okay.
Which is the movie about the lollipop film.
Oh, about the guy when he's older.
Yes.
Lollipop's a very famous South African film of a relationship between a young white boy and a young black boy.
Yes.
Sort of living on a farm. And
Yes.
And then this was the sort of biopic of the
black guy. Of their life, you know, what happened to them. So it looks at them, you know.
I remember that movie. It was a celebrated film.
Yeah. Okay. I was in that. That was my big movie moment.
Okay.
Had so much fun. And then I've just now recently, a few years ago, I was in Baloji's movie called Oga, shot in DRC. And it went to Cannes and it won.
Oh, we're going to hopefully screen that later this year.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Omen.
I'm in that.
Omen
film.
Or Baloji.
Yes.
It's got two names.
Omen, yes. Omen.
Omen's the sort of English name.
Yes, Omen.
That looks beautiful. We screened it as part of the Joburg Film Festival.
Really?
Earlier this year. And we're talking about a release later this year.
Yeah.
It looks beautiful.
Yeah. I'm in that film.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. Okay. But when you're at AFTA and you're surrounded by all these other film students, do you have a film that you can think back on that came to you at that point that sort of, these films tend to sort of crack open more parts of your brain?
I would say like a movie that I started to like religiously watch is the movie called Monster.
Oh, with Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
Okay. I can only watch that movie once.
I know. People have such a hard time with that movie.
It's a tough movie.
And it's I don't know. I kind of relate to that movie in some ways.
Okay.
You know, growing up poor, you know, trying to survive. And just like that whole, I guess,
hopefully not murdering
or prostituting.
People.
Not yet. No prostitution yet. But no, I just could relate about growing up on the other side of the tracks.
No, sure. And I think, you know, people forget what that means. And when you realize that there's no one to call on to help when these things happen.
Yeah. And that movie just really shows you, like, you know, when somebody is neglected and rejected and, like, cast aside, you know, what that can manifest in them. You know, this, you know, the whole movie... You know, she starts off, she says, you know, dear God. Also very much like Color Purple, you know.
Oh.
We are in the mind of this prostitute who's like, you know, starts off, she's like, you know, I was ready. She says, I was ready to kill myself. But then I realized that all I have is $20. So if I shoot myself, I would have sucked whoever for free.
Yeah.
So all I have is this $20. So when it's gone, so am I. So if you've got something for me in this world, bring it on. And, you know, and she falls in love, you know, that night when she's about to, like, end it.
Yeah.
And that's how the, you know, it's like a love story, basically, the whole movie. And she falls in love and she feels so committed to this relationship. She's willing to do anything. Yeah.
Lovely, man. Then the music takes off.
Yeah.
When did that? You've been around, and I've sort of been watching and seeing. You know, I want to share one moment, which was something you didn't know necessarily about. I remember walking past a performance of you in Melville. I was sort of walking up 7th Street once, as one does when you're in varsity late at night on a Thursday. Often is when I went to Melville. I forget which night it was. And I peered in through a window and I was watching you perform. And it was a smaller club show. Obviously, your shows have grown exponentially since. But the early days, and I could see how engaged the audience was. And I thought that was really special. You don't see that too often. And I just saw how you had sort of built this crowd up over the course of however long. And I watched for a few minutes from the window. And I just remember, like, you got something. You got something special.
Thank you.
What's that journey been like for you?
It's been really tough. It's taken so much time. I even forgot, like, all the missions and all the... everything we've put in. Yeah, I do think, you know, also coming from acting background and the theatrical background, I think I was able to take a little bit of that and put it into my music as well.
Like like put on a character or sort of put on a show?
I mean,
what do you mean?
No, I mean like being on stage,
yeah,
performing, being emotional, expressing emotion, you know, comfortably.
I find it very interesting. Have you seen this other band, Neon Dreams?
No.
They're a great band. They're from Canada, but they're spending more and more time here. But you remind me a little similar to the singer. Yeah. It just to some degree, and what I'm going to talk about, let's say less about Neon Dreams, more about you. You present yourself as often being quite a quiet guy.
Yeah.
But there's so much confidence on stage. Is that true? Does that make sense? Do you feel like you're able to be more comfortable on stage than in real life? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I have not noticed that, but like I have a lot of stage frights, and like I have like anxiety, like, you know,
before or during?
Before, during, you know,
okay.
And I don't know, and I try and mask it. Maybe okay. By masking it, because a friend of mine said, you know, I said, you know what, you know, this next tour, I'm gonna be really confident.
Yeah,
and she said. Do you think you could be more confident than you already are? And I was quite surprised that I give out this like really confident.
Yeah, there's certainly just a control, and I think that is part of what brings the audience in. It's just this comfort that you've got them, and I think you know that's why some of the, you know, the biggest musicians in the world are often the ones that seem a bit more arrogant, because there's a confidence to sort of their stage show.
I do wonder.
It's interesting.
Yeah, I do think like I've performed so much now.
Yeah,
that I think maybe.
You definitely get used to it. It's the kind of thing you get used to.
Yeah, I wonder if it's not something I've learned to turn on, like,
yeah,
on stage. Yeah, but I definitely mean naturally. It's gotten a lot better now, because I've put in a lot of work, mental work, practicing. But I used to be terrified to go on stage. Mm. And I used to feel like everyone is just watching a ball of nerves.
What's been one of the biggest shows you've ever played?
I wanna say Bushfire.
Okay.
But no, I think I can't remember. You know, I really can't remember right now.
No, lovely, man. Okay, our last film is the film you could settle down with. This is the film you could marry. Yeah. Could be one of the previous films. Could just be something else.
Okay, I'm going to have to think. Which film did I love? Could it be a documentary?
It could be anything you want. It could even be a TV show. But documentary is nice. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I watch a lot of documentaries. I love documentaries. I've watched the Nina Simone documentary.
Okay. It's called What Happened.
What's Miss Nina? Yeah.
What is it called?
What Happened, Miss Nina, I think. Okay. What Happened, Miss Nina.
Let's try find it.
Yeah. I love this documentary. Yeah, just like showing a whole life and showing it so accurately and so like we was talking.
What happened, Miss Simone?
Miss Simone, yes. What happened?
She's a very interesting story.
Yeah,
and I think people don't quite know. I don't even quite know. She sort of disappeared, right? She sort of had a big career and then she sort of consciously took herself out.
Yeah, she's had a dynamic life, and definitely, you know, she was like one of those people that was pro-black.
Yeah, very passionate activist
when it way before it was a thing, and right at the height of her career she decided, like, you know what, I don't want to make, like, you know, like just dancing music. I want to make conscious music, you know. And she wrote songs like "To Be Young, Gifted, and Black," you know,
yes.
And like this, and like just such a dynamic life, such a talented genius musician. And like what I love about this documentary, it just shows you that like how complex also being a genius can be, and what it comes with as well. Yeah,
lovely, man.
Yeah.
No, I think the courage that it takes for those people, especially at a certain point in their life, to, once again, it's what we keep coming back to, this idea of, you know, being authentic to yourself, you know, pushing what matters to you.
Yeah.
As I said, I unfortunately don't understand a lot of what you're saying, but does politics come into it? Not politics, but does, is there a consciousness that you bring in?
My previous albums have been really like about love and relationships. And I don't know if maybe that's also super political.
Political, sorry, but perhaps the wrong word. But sort of consciousness.
Yeah. You know, a lot of my music is really, I think when I see it, you know, it's about trying to get happy, trying to get free, trying to find belonging, trying to find meaning. I think all of my songs have a little element like that.
Lovely, man.
Yeah.
Listen, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
We appreciate the visit.
I enjoyed chatting to you. It's my pleasure.
I often then try and find something for you to rent.
Yes.
So I would love to have you, you know, you've returned some films, but I'd love to give you something to watch.
Okay.
What are you in the mood for now?
Maybe like a good South African film.
Good South African film.
Yes.
I've got something, I think. There is a documentary, because you said you like documentaries. There is a documentary that has just been made. It is going to premiere at Encounters, which is a film festival.
Yes, I've worked
that,
there.
That the you worked there.
Yeah.
Cool. The Bioscope's going to be one of the venues for it. It's a documentary called Black People Don't Get Depressed.
Okay. Yeah.
Which just by its title sounds
intriguing. Sounds interesting, yeah.
Yeah, so it's one of those things where we'll screen it once as part of Encounters, and then with a bit of luck, depending on the film's life, we could do more screenings of it at the Bioscope.
All right.
But the name sort of says a lot, but it obviously deals with
mental health.
Perception of mental health in South Africa. So it should be a goodie. So let's rent you that.
And do you have Yesterday?
That would be good.
Yeah.
Hey, Daryl Roach.
I love that movie.
Yeah, that's a good one. Same, also the same... What's her name?
Laleti.
Yes. Kamala. She was in Sarafina.
Yeah.
Okay, so you haven't seen Yesterday.
I have, but it's worth it. I love that movie.
You could give it.
It's
a rewatch.
Also the movie, like it's there with Monster. I can speak along with the movie.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Lovely. Okay. Great. All right. So we'll give you Yesterday to rewatch.
Yeah.
And we'll give you Black People Don't Get Depressed as a documentary. Always. Lovely. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Cheers. All right. Lekker chat.
Nice.
How's the game?
A great time.
Any customers?
I don't know.
Any business?
That's not my problem.
Oh, God. And how was Corbin's homework?
I had to do more math. I didn't think this is where I was going to be in my life at this point.
But you're a smart guy.
Yeah, math's fine.
You did pretty well in maths.
Yeah, that's about it. Math. Until they started introducing letters.
Then it just became weird, right?
Yes.
Yeah, like Corbin brought out the scientific calculator the other day.
Corbin's 8.
Well, he found it somewhere.
Okay, I was about to say, like, he's not doing trigonometry.
No. No, he's just like, look what I found. And I'm just like, brought back nightmares of sine and cos and tan. And like,
I'm still not entirely sure what that actual use is. Physics makes sense.
Yes,
like
engineering.
Like, geometry makes so much sense.
So much sense.
Yes. Just basic maths makes sense. But, like, trig...
Like what?
I don't understand. I can't see it.
The moment it goes from sums to equations, I'm out.
No, but a handful of it makes sense. But that the sin, cos, and tan didn't make any sense to me. And shout out to what is actually, funny enough, our most listened to episode in the history of the video store is the interview with Jonathan Rocksmith.
Oh, yes.
And he talks about he got asked to go back to his high school to give a... like a commencement speech of sorts. And he said, oh, and by the way, you're never going to use sin, cos, and tan in your life. And apparently he started like a little coup where a whole bunch of maths kids in Northcliffe sort of refused to then do it. he launched a coup, he said.
Nice.
It's just so funny the way he said it. All right, Magic. Thank you, guys. Mm. Thanks for a lovely day. Thanks for a great week here.
Yeah.
All previous episodes can be found at thevideostore.co.za. We've had a host of other musicians, the likes of Matthew Mole and Neon Dreams and Ross from Prime Circle and now his solo career. There's loads of musicians, and it's always lovely talking to them and seeing how cinema has influenced their music and how the two are sort of just so interlinked. So
yeah.
All the previous episodes are there, and social media, chime in, let us know what you think, and we'll see you again next week.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Bye-bye.
Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.